Hey guys, welcome back to our 23rd episode of Flick or Flop.
That's right. I'm your host, Jeremy Kibler, and I'm here with my wonderful co-host,
Alex Maynard. Thank you so much for the kind introduction.
Of course. And we have three dogs at our feet, so we apologize if they snort, growl, or bark.
But I'm feeling one coming.
Yeah,
it's coming. Yeah.
Oh, the ice machine just went off, so of course they're going to growl. All right, well, where to start? Do we want to touch on the...
Should we have a moment of silence? I feel like we all need to have a moment of silence. Naya Rivera. Rest in peace. Even Willie just sighed.
It's now confirmed. They found her body. And I don't know. This actually... I'm not trivializing any celebrity death. But this kind of hit me. Because I really enjoyed her on Glee. She was actually one of my favorite characters as Santana. And, yeah, I don't know, just the whole situation with her son on the boat and, you know, the son being found and mom was not found. It's just, I don't know, it just adds more
It's all very sadness. Interesting.
Yeah. But, yeah, it was confirmed. She was 33 and very talented. Good singer, good dancer, good actress. So
we gained another angel.
Yeah.
On that note, because it's, I mean... premise, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what goes on?
Yeah, so we're talking about Relic. It's an IFC Midnight release, and we both saw it.
Oh my gosh, surprise. I saw a movie. Just
yes,
kidding.
I forced you. So I guess I'll give, you know, a quick plot summary. So this revolves around three generations. So the elderly grandmother, Edna, goes missing from her home for days, and her daughter, Kay, played by Emily Mortimer, and granddaughter, Sam, played by Bella Heathcote, rush to the country home to look for her, and, you know, they issue a search party in the woods, but, you know, can't find her still. And then one morning, Kay wakes up to the teapot, and mom is there, standing over the stove, and she's
asking
if she wants
tea. Like some tea.
Yeah. So, yeah, she returns, you know, as if nothing has changed, but she has a bruise on her chest, and her mind doesn't seem to be quite there. And things grow, you know, mom becomes a little more aggressive, and things kind of go on from there. And, yeah, just throw it out here. This is definitely about mental deterioration and aging, dementia, decay.
It's definitely decay.
Yeah.
The monster is decay, and
the monster is aging. The monster is not knowing, you know, your loved ones anymore. Not seeing them for who they once were.
Lots of pain.
Yeah. So this is
what a roller coaster.
This is from Australia. It's from a first-time filmmaker, Natalie Erica James, and she pulled off a lot. This is a metaphor for sure. You know, for the effects of dementia over three generations, and it is a horror film. I'd consider it a horror drama, but a lot of surreal stuff happens gradually. You know, it starts out very spooky.
Yeah, I kind of questioned if it was a little bit of a sci-fi, but...
Right, you did.
Even the beginning, it kind of gave off that sci-fi feel, just with the glowing.
Yeah.
That
took place during Christmas. Yeah, I don't know. It added kind of like a sense of foreboding to me, but you got like sci-fi vibes. I mean... Hey.
No, successful in both.
Oh, yeah, sure. Yeah. I mean, this kind of reminds me of, like, a haunted house story, but it definitely pivots because, I mean, you know, who's really haunted and is there really a haunting? And I know you laugh at me when I say this, but this was a slow burn. This was another slow
burn. I know you always say that.
But it was.
That's what everybody says, though. How else to describe that, right?
No, I don't know. It's like a slow
burn. It was a nicely paced film.
Right. It is deliberately paced. It is not fast paced. It doesn't have a lot of gotcha jolts, you know. But so this kind of knocked the wind out of me, though, in the end with the final shot. It's wordless, and it's tragic, and it's kind of gross, and it's, I don't know, I make a lot of a salad bowl of emotions.
That's why I'm saying, like, for me, it's hard to call this a horror.
I mean, if you need to label it something, I would definitely consider it a horror film, because I think it tackles something that we're not comfortable talking about, and this is kind of a way of making it a little more digestible, I guess. Digestible? Yeah, I don't know.
Desensitizing the issue.
But yeah, we should say the performances were really great. You know, Emily Mortimer and Bella Heathcote are the only two that I'm familiar with. I'm not familiar with Robin Nevin, but she plays the grandmother, and
the grandmother nailed it.
Yeah. She plays you know, mental decay very well.
Yeah, because at some points it's like you really like didn't like I despised. I was like, what the hell? Like, get out of there. Like, don't.
But
then, like, you, like, cared for her. Like, I cared for her. I was like, oh my god. Like, naturally.
Yeah,
Who doesn't know somebody?
For me, I thought this, you know, in most, like, haunted house stories, you think, like, get the hell out of Dodge. Like, why are you still there? But with this, there's more of an emotional through line to it. I mean, it's, you know, it's the one woman's mother, it's the young woman's grandmother, like there's emotional attachment there. Yeah, definitely. And I could relate to it, you know, in some aspects.
Yeah.
Definitely goes, you know, bad shit as it goes on. But yeah, I thought the groundwork was laid efficiently. The relationships are all pretty strained. I mean, you didn't think there was enough.
I did not pick up on that. No.
I think they said it in so many words. I think, you know, I'm sure this is a very, like, trim, efficient script, but I think that's where the performances come in. I think they found a lot of nuance in there. That, which is what made the ending, the final shot, so impactful, I thought. It was kind of tender in a way.
Yeah, because she didn't want to let happen to her what happened to her husband.
Right. Yeah. So yeah, this impressed me. I'm excited to see more from Natalie Erica James, who is apparently, I think, maybe she's not even 30. I don't know. I was listening to a podcast and she was talking about how she saw The Others. She came out in 2001 when she was 11.
Oh, Lord.
I was 14, so, yeah, she's definitely younger than me, so, yeah. But, yeah, final thoughts.
I think this was, honestly, one of the best ones past couple of weeks for me.
Well, definitely.
It's a total flick.
Yeah.
I love it, yeah.
Yeah, definitely a flick.
And it sucks, like, I didn't watch this with you. I watched it,
So,
and I used, you know, my Fire Stick, so it wasn't the best quality. There were a couple of times that I don't know. Yeah, I would go see it, find a great quality.
So this actually came out. So it just came out on Friday. You know, on demand and iTunes, wherever you watch movies.
Beyond Prime.
But before that, a week ago, it was playing at drive-ins.
Oh.
And I'm wondering if
this would be a great film at the drive-in.
But I'm wondering, like, I don't know, you know, a lot of movies that are coming out recently are playing at the drive-in, and I've heard some feedback, people saying that it's, like, it's too dark. Like, And I'm wondering, this movie is, like, visually dark sometimes, so I don't know, I'm wondering
there were some times where it was hard to see.
Because, you know, a drive-in screen is not, like, the best quality, but I think it's more about the experience. But, you know, see it, I think people should see it on any screen, anywhere you can find it. You know, if you're into emotional family dramas, or if you're into, like, you know,
it made me think about getting a new TV, because I'm like, oh my god, I could only imagine it being 10 times better, and I already like it.
Made me think about my grandmother. Made you think of your TV. No, I get it though. I get it. So yeah, this was a very this is a definite flick for me.
We're gonna change gears.
So Palm Springs, this is on Hulu. This is famously, I think, one of the most expensive buys from a distributor, like Hulu, from Sundance. So this played at the Sundance Film Festival, and I think Hulu bought it for like $20 million. And you know, it's not a big, you know, big budgeted effects laden summer blockbuster. It's a time loop romantic comedy. So it's from the Lonely Island comedy troupe from SNL, the Dick in the Box guys, Andy Samberg. That means nothing to you?
Means nothing to me.
Oh, wow. No. Justin Timberlake was in the Just a Dick in a Box? No? Those music videos? All right. Well, other people know.
We're talking about SNL? Thing.
Yeah. Yeah. This was like a sketch.
SNL. Okay. Yeah. I didn't know to SNL.
All right. Well, so this is from the Lonely Island guys. They're producers on it. Andy Samberg co-stars. He co-stars with Kristen Milioti, I think is her name, is how you pronounce it. She was in How I Met Your Mother. I think she was the mother. But anyway, so Andy Samberg and Kristen Milioti play these two fuck-ups. Excuse my language. They meet at a wedding. It's her sister being married, and so of course she's the maid of honor. And she follows Andy Samberg. He's the boyfriend to one of the bridesmaids. And one night they're both, you know, drinking at the open bar, and she starts talking to him, and they start making out in, like, the desert, and he takes her into a cave, and then she realizes that she gets stuck in the same time loop that he is in. And so this is, you know, this is very Groundhog Day. It's definitely a millennial story. These two screw-ups, they have some personal hang-ups. She has some secrets that you find out. She's not the best person in the world. So this got rave reviews. I liked it. I laughed a couple times. I appreciated that they're both these, you know, flawed, screwed up people. They're not perfect. They make mistakes. Like all of us, they're human. I think I liked Kristen Milioti's character a little bit more, Sarah, more than Andy Samberg's Niall. He's, you know, he's his typical Andy Samberg goofball. If you've ever seen his stuff. But no, I guess you haven't.
No.
But yeah, I don't wanna give too much away because I think like experiencing it is
part of the
But yeah, it's on Hulu. And I would give it a flick. It's a fun, but it has a little substance to it. It's fun, but it has some substance to it. So, yeah, it's entertaining. I'd give it a flick. A flick.
I am not disappointed that I didn't see that one.
Really?
No, I mean, it's just not my style.
No. No. Well, maybe this is more your style, the next one.
What, the beach house?
Yeah. So, if you love the beach, you should watch The Beach House, and then you'll hate the beach.
Oh my god, why?
So this is on Shudder, which is, you know, a channel on Prime Video. It's for us horror junkies out there. So this is The Beach House. This is from writer-director Jeffrey A. Brown. This is his first film. This is about a college-age couple. One half of them is played by Liana Liberato from Banana Split. We reviewed that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We reviewed that on this podcast.
Yes, we did.
Yes. I really like her. This is like her third film this year, so she's getting a lot of work.
You go, girl.
Right. So it's supposed to be this relaxing weekend in Cape Cod at the boy Randall's father's beach house. And, you know, they want to work on their relationship. It's the off season. And Emily she comes to the discovery that somebody is already staying there. And sure enough, it's an older couple, the Turners, Jane and Mitch Turner, and they are friends of Randall's father, allegedly, and they tell stories that they remember when Randall was a kid. So Emily's kind of uncomfortable at first, and then they accept the dinner invitation, even though it's Randall's father's house. And, you know, things quickly turn around. They have great conversation. They have a couple bottles of wine, and then Randall offers to share his chocolate edibles. His marijuana. And outside, there's like this luminescent glow that starts like reflecting off the water. Something's kind of wrong with the drinking water. Jane goes missing, and then a fog rolls in, and
oh gosh,
this perfect getaway turns into a nightmare. So yeah, this is definitely, this kind of combines eco-horror, environmental horror, ecological horror, whatever, and body horror. You know, there's something that ends up on the shore of the beach, and it starts infecting them. So it's kind of timely, in a way.
There's
something in the air. There's something in the water. So this.
That was more like Ebola, but I get it.
Well, right, but same idea. Yeah. Like they get infected. we can all relate.
Not to dismiss the coronavirus.
Right. We're not dismissing you, COVID. So yeah, this. I'm not gonna call this a slow burn, but it is. It does start off. You know, it's not quite in a hurry. I'll put it that way. You know, it's a four-hander. It's just these four characters, and there's some side characters that turn up. But it's mostly this couple and then this older couple. And, you know, from the beginning, there's something a little off, and there are a lot of close-ups of the water, like in the sink, and it just kind of gives you that icky feeling. And then there's this one scene that I cannot get out of my head. I'm just going to call it a foot surgery. It involves tongs, vinegar, and a knife. And that's all I'm going to say. But if you're squeamish, it's going to trigger you.
Wow.
But yeah, the actress, there's only two options there. The actress and the effects team really sell it. And yeah, it's very gross and disgusting, but I mean that as a total compliment. Yeah, I found this to be very effective. It's a good first film. It's not quite great. I think it's brevity can be a good thing. I feel like it's maybe a little too short. It kind of pushes itself into a corner a little bit, but I will say it ends very strongly. The director really sticks the landing here. The ending. I was getting to the end, Minnie. This is a very ballsy.
She forgot where she was.
Right, she did.
She woke from a slumber, forgot where she was.
As we all sometimes forget where we are. But yeah, as I was saying, this ending, it really. What was that?
Leo sighed. He's over it.
Oh my god. The ending has some real staying power, though. Like, it's a very ballsy, bleak ending, and I appreciated that. So, you know, if you know what you're in for, if you're not too squeamish, or if you like to be squeamish during a movie, this is a definite flick. So
if you like Saw, you might like something like this.
If you like alien pods, like getting in someone's foot, you'll love it.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah. If you like body horror, you know, stuff Yeah, stuff like that.
Oh, gotcha. Flesh eating, something, yes, whatever. Yes. Okay, gotcha. Yes. Bacteria, mm-hmm, virus, mm-hmm, stuff. Okay.
Yeah, and they never...
And this is at the beach? Damn.
Yeah.
That is, like,
makes the beach look disgusting. Yeah. And it never explains fully what it is.
Yeah.
Stuff. Yeah. 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 But I like this a lot more than Sea Fever, which everyone ape shit over, so points for the beach house. So
hats
we are
off.
We are, yeah, hats off, foots off. So we're gonna end on
Homewrecker,
which you had the pleasure of watching as well.
I did, yes. I don't remember complete details, however, I do remember, not to spoil it, it was fun.
It was, yeah. Yeah,
I definitely liked it more than you did.
No, but I did like it.
Right.
So this is definitely a micro-budgeted production, I'll call it. I should have you. No. All right. I will try to be as...
Refresh my memory.
...concise as I can.
High concept.
High
is
concept.
That what it is? High concept?
Yeah. Well, if you want to be high concept, I would say it's Misery meets Whatever Happened to Baby Jane. But to some people that don't know either of those films, I'm going to... Okay. So it's about an interior designer. She... I'm trying to be high concept here. Very passive interior designer. Bumps into a woman that she vaguely knows from her exercise classes... She's trying to get work done in the coffee shop. The woman says, oh, you should come to my house. You should, you know, design my house. Interior designer is very passive. She's like, okay, sure. So she goes to the woman's house, and the woman is obviously...
You just can't say no to her.
...very lonely, but there's something a little off about her, because on the way to her car, she's kind of aggressive to, like, a bystander. She calls a woman a cunt.
Oh, gosh. Okay. I missed that.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I was there
so,
for it.
Yeah, and then she ends up wanting her to stay for a drink, and then they end up watching a movie.
Oh, my God. The glass breaks. Oh.
The glass breaks.
That was the end of the world.
She's on her phone. I guess I should have given them names. Michelle, yeah, Michelle is the fucked up this entire plot summary. Michelle is the younger woman. Linda is the woman who's crazy and lonely. So when Michelle tries to leave, Linda will not have it, and she knocks her out and wants her to stay.
And traps her in a freaking bedroom.
Right. So, and there's something else that happens, which has to do with the title of the film, but... I think you should just watch it and find out. So I called the beach house a four-hander. This is a two-hander.
Okay.
This is mainly two women in a house.
Sometimes I feel like movies that do that, where it's like, you know, the same setting, like, it gets kind of like boring and whatever.
It can.
I feel like I didn't get bored here with the setting. Like, it was...
Yeah.
There was enough that was going on, like... I say, like, she gets locked in a bedroom, like okay, that seems
right.
boring. Like,
right.
But there's a lot that goes on there, and it's...
Well, yeah, that can be really experimental. That can be, like, a major stunt, you know, like, one setting, one location. This, I think, passed that test for us, at least. I thought that, yeah, I really liked the two performances. Alex Esso, who's in a lot of horror films, and... The crazy one.
She was a great crazy lady.
She was. She has these moments where she goes big, and these moments where she goes small and subtle and kind of affecting in a way, and you almost feel... It's weird. You sometimes...
You do feel bad. You understand that she has a mental illness, and you're like, mm-hmm. Oh my God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it never gets into that, and that's fine. You know, she's definitely cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs, but
yes, for sure.
She is quite needy. She's kind of living in the past. I think she's just this lonely soul. But yeah, she's very bright on the outside, very friendly, but then she's just delusional and unhinged once you get to know her. But yeah, so the woman playing Linda, her name is Precious Chong. She is, you've heard of Cheech and Chong, right? The two.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. She's the daughter of Tommy Chong.
Oh, okay.
But, yeah, I mean, I don't really know her. She's, I think she does some comedy, maybe? I don't know. She does a lot of short films,
probably.
I think. But, yeah, she is perfectly demented here. And always captivating. Yeah, her,
nailed it.
She has a great face.
Nailed it.
Yeah, she does that Lisa Loeb, music video, Stay. Remember that 90s song, Stay? I missed you. No?
No.
Well, she does a...
I mean, I'm sure.
She breaks the fourth wall, and she does, like, a karaoke version of that, like, to the camera. So you really know at, like, what level she's... her craziness of that. Yeah. Do you have any thoughts?
No.
No? Uh-uh. Yeah, this was... I mean, this was, like... It turns into a kind of a cat fight, but... it kind of hits on some, like, relatable themes. I would say the avoidance of, like, confrontation sometimes. Meaning the Michelle character. You see, like, when she runs into Linda, she's like, yeah, this is a great place to get work done. And she doesn't get the hint. And she's just trying to avoid, like, saying, hey, give me some space.
Oh, I understand. Okay.
And, you know, she doesn't want to...
Because I can't relate on that.
And she, you know, when she's trying to leave, she doesn't want to, like, make too
right.
many waves.
Feel
she's
sorry
like, okay,
for
I'll
her.
Stay.
Right.
And, yeah, but the broken glass, yeah, that, yeah, you know, social interaction with a stranger can be kind of awkward sometimes, but then, on the other hand, it's, the Linda character, she's facing all this denial and, just delusional as shit. but yeah, this was, like, darkly funny and just very nutty, and,
yeah.
I could see that someone was playing as a, like, a play. Like,
off
Broadway.
Mm-hmm. If that ever comes back, yeah.
Yeah, well, right. 2021, or...
This would be a good drive-in.
Yeah?
Yeah, I think this would be a fun drive-in movie.
It is very low-budgeted, but, I thought it
looked... I
didn't looked...
think so.
No?
Uh-uh.
It was a good length, you know, we don't always get the greatest length. I mean, it takes place during the daytime, but, yeah, did you have any nitpicks at all? I mean, it's
no.
mostly interesting to watch. I
it's
mean,
like
it's
a
never
B for me.
Yeah?
Yeah, because it's, like, not that memorable. Like, I was like, oh, wait, okay. And then, like, as we're talking about it, I'm remembering, but, like...
There are some, cutaways to, like, these random soap bubbles that don't make sense at first. It's, like, from a soap bomb.
Hmm.
And, like, this, like, offbeat psychedelic music. That didn't always work for me. I didn't really know what that was quite about. But, yeah, for a movie that looks like it was made for, like, $100, I thought this was...
No way you think it was like
no,
that?
No,
oh my God.
There's no way. Maybe, like, a couple thousand.
Interesting. Okay, well...
I don't know.
They got me.
Yeah, no. I think that's part of its, like, its... Excuse... Yeah. This fucked up charm. Like, it's a messed up story. But, like, I kind of... It has, like, a low-budget charm to it. It has a lot of split screens, too. Which I'm
it kind of reminds me, like... It's kind of, like, films like Beetlejuice, I hate to say almost.
Oh, really?
But I got that, like...
Oh, my God, I love Beetlejuice.
Yeah, like, that's one of my favorites, but, yeah, I don't know, just, like, the film work, I feel like, at times, I'm like, I don't know. Don't know why.
Well, I like that take, because I love Beetlejuice. Well, yeah, so that is a flick from us, that was Homewrecker.
So just to recap, Relic, for sure, double flick.
Definite, see it.
Palm Springs, for me.
That's it. You don't know the Lonely Island guys. Everybody should listen to I'm on a boat and Dick in a Box and
oh, I'm on a
one.
Boat.
Yeah.
I know that. Yeah.
Yeah.
See, that's not my humor though. Like, I don't know, that's not for me.
It's sketch humor.
Yeah, that's not for me.
Yeah.
I never
Mm-mm. Oh, and Jizz in My Pants. Who could forget Jizz in My Pants?
No.
No? All right.
See, I was like a Mad TV.
I just sound like so crude right now. I'm just saying these songs.
I don't think that I like watched. I probably couldn't watch those things. But
Justin
or something.
Timberlake. This is, I think that was like around like 2008, 2009. So I mean, yeah.
Yeah. I was busy.
You weren't watching SNL like
I wasn't. No, I was busy.
I think I saw it on YouTube actually, but yeah. So Palm Springs, it's a flick from me, flop. And then flop from Alex who didn't see it. And The Beach House, I would give that a flick.
That sounds like a flick.
Yes. Yeah. It's very, very beachy and gross. And then Homewrecker,
which we
just talked about. Yeah.
Imagine.
And I screwed up the plot summary royally, but hey.
Well, you were trying to high concept.
I was trying to high concept it, but there's just a lot of, like, nuance, you know. Had to get it all in there.
Crazy lady tricks other woman into coming over to house and taking on her life.
I should have had you do it.
Well, I forgot what it was about.
Right. The mind is a sieve.
What's up next
week? So what is up next week? You know, I've seen so many more movies than what we're talking about, but, like, there's so much time in a day. Like, yeah. I mean, I could have talked about Mighty Oak, which is about it's about reincarnation, but no, not enough time. I think we should catch up with The Old Guard on Netflix. It's with Charlize Theron. It's about, like, mortality, and there's action. It's Charlize Theron.
Okay. I'm here for it.
And we watched Ghosts of War, which feels like 3 months ago, but we watched that.
Oh my god.
It's just coming out this week. Yeah.
Yes. Where the World War I. I mean, it was essentially like a loop. Sorry.
Spoiler.
Hopefully you didn't hear me.
Now you don't have to watch it. No. Is it World War?
Are you allowed to talk about it yet?
I don't know if there's an embargo. There aren't any reviews on Rotten Tomatoes yet, so I don't think it's lifted yet. But whatever. It's a war horror film. So we'll get to that. It's kind of a light week, so I don't know. We might have to play catch up with other stuff. Or just talk about two movies.
Hey, short and sweet is sometimes
two movies
nice.
That we both will have seen.
That'll be great.
We do that.
I can't do four. I'm sorry.
I know.
Four a week.
Well, you're a busy guy.
It's a lot.
You have like a job or something? I don't know.
I mean, we all work, but...
We do all work. Right, Minnie? So,
guys, thanks for tuning in. Subscribe, like, follow, share, tag a friend, comment. Do what you want to do.
Do all
the stuff. We appreciate you.
Yes, we
do. Until next time.
Until next time, guys. Watch a movie and we'll be back next week.
Ciao.